Thanks, Rod. Thanks, Jane, very much indeed. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that you're the God who wants to be known by us. Help us to know and help us to live. Amen. Amen. Baptism is let's be honest, it's weird, isn't it? Isn't it a bit weird? I mean, where else in society would we say, let's gather a load of people and let's find a small child that we're going to tip water on? And then let's find some bigger grown-up people who we're going to actually dunk in water. It's weird, isn't it? It's a bit weird. It's weird in our age. And I tried to think of some of the different things that we do that's kind of weird in terms of initiation stuff. Or kind of passing out type of stuff, or beginning kind of stuff. I mean, I got so desperate, I thought, well, birthday cakes. I mean, they're a bit weird, aren't they? We sing happy birthday to you, and we bring out a thing which represents the number of years this person has achieved. And we celebrate that life, that light, that warmth as the candle burns. And then we say to them, blow it out. And you go, oh, hold on a minute, what does that symbolise? Are we just snuffing it out? Is that what, are we going to snuff it? Is that what we're saying? I mean, it is a bit weird, isn't it? You go, why do we not do it the other way around? Why do we not sing happy birthday and then light the candles as a celebration of the fact that this person's got another year ahead of them and to celebrate it? Now, we do some weird stuff in our society. One of the other weird things, someone was talking to us this week at the baby group, and they mentioned, and they weren't being boastful, by the way, but they just happened to mention that they had a PhD. In other words, they'd been to college for a very long time, and they'd studied some stuff. And when you get a PhD, and you have a graduation ceremony, you wear a fancy hat. And it's the clothes, I mean, let's be honest again, the clothes they wear is weird, isn't it? The only time we think it's normal is when we see it in Harry Potter. You know, otherwise we're going, that's just weird. Why are you wearing that fancy dress? You just look and, well, let's not go there. And then, if you've got a PhD, you put a fancy frilly hat on. And the fancy hat looks like a chef's hat, only slightly wider at the top and squashed. That's essentially what it looks like to me. I mean, I'm being very rude now to those of you who have PhDs. But that's what it is, isn't it? It's kind of squashed chef's hat thing, really, only usually black. And it's got a few fancy ribbons on it. Now, here's the problem this PhD person with their PhD had. They had just taken another degree and graduated with a master's. I'm going, you've got too much time on your hands. And they just graduated with a master's. I mean, they already had, you know, they'd already surpassed the master's degree, but they'd taken another associated degree at master's level. And the problem they had was, which fancy hat do I have to wear? Because they were taking this master's in a different university to the one that they graduated in with their PhD. Now, the problems that people have, it's absurd, it's ridiculous, isn't it? But it doesn't really get close to throwing water on a small child and dunking people in a paddling pool. This is really weird. So what does it mean? And where does it come from? What we've done this morning is something really very, very significant. Very significant. So back in the day when Jesus was around, physically here on earth, what he said was, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we have done this morning, and to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. So Jesus commanded that baptism would happen. And in his day, baptism did happen. Jesus himself was baptized. He was baptized in the River Jordan. We don't have a river, so we didn't do the river thing here. But if some of you have been watching BBC News, you know that 92 people were baptized at Bournemouth Beach. I think it was last Sunday. And I did offer to, I think, who did I offer to you two guys that we actually should go to the beach? I mean, that would be a great day out, wouldn't it? Although this Sunday, the weather's rubbish. Last Sunday, it was a lot better. Anyway, 92 people were baptised on Bournemouth Beach last Sunday at the Boscombe Pier end, if you know Bournemouth Beach at all. It was absolutely fabulous. We've only done 5 this morning. We feel very little and insignificant, but we've done a really important 5, okay? Just to be clear about that. So baptism is something that Jesus did and that was undertaken before Jesus changed it and before John the Baptist changed it. It was undertaken as a way of joining the Jewish community. For women, it was a way of joining the Jewish community. For men, it was an alternative to circumcision. We won't go into too much detail there. Okay, it was an alternative. I had no idea why they would take that alternative, but they did. And baptism was a way into joining the Jewish community. And in the book of Acts, it talks about God-fearers. It talks about the synagogue, which was made up of Jews and God-fearers. The God-fearers were those who had been baptized and therefore had admission into the Jewish community, although not full members. What Jesus did was he took that ceremony, that little ritual, that practice, and he said, we're going to make it something even more important and significant. We're going to make it and give it some import. And it's become what's known as a sacrament, okay? So the church has sacraments. Sacraments are, if you like, an outward sign of an inward reality. An outward sign of an inward reality. Like, as I sometimes say, and some people have heard me say this loads of times, a bit like putting a shirt on somebody that says something about it. You know, so to use the crazy football analogy, I could wear this morning, we stood here in a Chelsea shirt, proclaiming my allegiance to Chelsea. That's what you would think if I wore that shirt. But some of you know me well enough to know that I would not do that. Okay, because I do not support Chelsea, just to be really clear. Nobody wants to support a team bankrolled by a Russian oligarch. Nobody wants to... Sorry, stop now. Sorry, I'll save that for next Friday night. Say at the pub. But I support Arsenal, by the way, who are bankrolled by an American capitalist. So, again, just to be clear. But I wouldn't. You don't wear something that doesn't represent what you are. This morning, what we said for Eliana, for Sophia, for Gabriella and Christiana, and for Kobe, who's left the building, what we said for them is that we're putting a shirt on them which says, as they testify themselves, I'm going to follow Jesus. And the challenge for them is whether they will be people for whom the shirt means something. This means something. And it means something. The sign means something. The first thing it means is about new birth. Now, it's really interesting. I mean, obviously, baptism involves water. Water is used, we speak of water in a different way. So for some of you, this might be too much information. But we talk about this in childbirth. We talk about the breaking of the mother's waters. We talk about when a child comes out, it's like they passed through water. Now, Jesus used that himself. Almost certainly he was referring to in John chapter 3, when John's account of Jesus' life, where he talks about to a guy called Nicodemus, who was a religious teacher at the time. He said to him, you must be born again of water and of the Spirit. And almost certainly for me, he was referring to the biological birth of being born through the waters of biological birth. And Jesus says, you must also be born again of the Spirit. And what baptism is with water is a sign of a new birth, a new beginning, a new start. Now, I suspect that many of us in here this morning, wherever we are with God, have got moments when we go, it would be really nice just to start again. There's a film called About Time. Have any of you seen the film About Time? It's about time because it's about this young man who discovers that he can travel back in time and change something from his past. And the film is about his own attempts to try and you know, sort out some of the mess that he's made, and even in some cases some other people have made in their lives. And many of us would go, actually, it would be really good to just see if we couldn't do that again. There have been moments when we've opened our mouths, for instance, or we've taken a step forwards. You know, whether we've opened our mouths and said something in a room and either looked to right to it or said something that's hurtful and we wish we could take it back. Or that we've taken an action, a step. Maybe we've done something in terms of, I don't know, we're just reckless and wish that we could wind the clock back. Most of us have those kind of moments in our lives. And what Jesus offers here, this is a sign of the new birth, the new life, the new beginning that he gives us. But the other thing associated with this is he says this is an opportunity for a new belonging, a new family. With new birth comes a new family. God invites us into his family. And this is just extraordinary. It's the reason I'm a Christian, and the reason I became a Christian 47-ish years ago was because it seemed to me to make such sense that if God existed and I couldn't see that he didn't, then God was good and I couldn't see that he wasn't, then why would I not want to belong to him? Why would I not want to follow him? Why would I not want in on what he offers? What God offers us is a community and a connection with him. He invites us into family, into relationship with him. Most of us have been in situations where we've perhaps not been welcomed. You know, we've turned up at a kind of party or something, or some kind of gathering. We've walked into a conversation with colleagues at work or some kind of situation like that where we go, I really wish I hadn't turned up at that moment. Perhaps we weren't welcomed. Some of us, perhaps even in our own families, at times might feel unwelcomed, unloved. And what God offers us is an extraordinary love, an extraordinary grace, an extraordinary kindness to us. He welcomes us in. And baptism, whether for you girls this morning and Kobe, the one boy representative, for you girls or Kobe, God welcomes you in. And this is a sign of his love for you, is water and the new birth that it offers to us. It's an immense privilege. The second thing that baptism offers us, we know this with water. Most of us, when we got up this morning, had a bit of a wash, possibly a shower, maybe went the full gear and did a bath. But most of us had a wash. And at different times today, we shall wash again. Hopefully you'll wash your hands at the appropriate moment when you've gone into the small room in the house, that kind of thing. But we'll wash our hands, won't we? Why do we wash ourselves? We wash ourselves to make ourselves clean. Baptism is a sign of being made clean, of wiping the slate clean. The Bible tells us that for those of us who know God, for those of us who know God, there is no condemnation for us. There is no need for guilt, no need for shame, no need for regret, and no need for fear. Because God's perfect love casts out that fear. And he says to us, you are clean. It's extraordinary, isn't it? When Jesus was baptized, he set a pattern for us. And when the girls were baptized this morning and Kobe was baptized, and for all of us who have been baptized, at that moment, that was signifying an outward sign of an inward reality. That outward sign of the inward reality. The outward sign was that you were being washed and cleansed. And the inward reality is that God cleans us up. God cleans us up. He makes us new. It's that new birth thing all over again, just in different words, really. And we can live now. Live as people free from shame and guilt, free from regret and fear, because we know that Jesus takes it for us. We are associated with Jesus somehow. You see, baptism is an association with Jesus, and like Jesus died and went down into the grave, we used these words in the symbolism of when we were talking, when Jesus died and went down into the grave. That's why baptism by immersion is a very powerful symbol, along with baptism by sprinkling. This is the little font we normally use just for kiddies. We don't get this much water if it's just one kiddie, by the way. If it's a small child, we will use the water in here. And we just put water, as we did this morning, on them. We don't chuck them right in, as you saw. So we just put water on them. And in that sprinkling is that washing. But in the actual act of placing somebody under the water and bringing them back up is that association with Jesus in his death and resurrection. Somehow it's as though we are saying, I'm willing to die to myself and be risen again to new life in Christ. When I was baptized, as I said, 47 years ago, I was given the verse from Galatians 2:20, which still means something to me today, much like the rest of the Bible, by the way. And it says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now, I live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I want to give that verse to you four and to Kobe as well and encourage you to be aware and thinking of it. Sometimes when people have been baptized, there's a number of images that people have used. I've heard of people who have turned up with a suitcase to get baptized, and in it have been a few bricks, and they've climbed into the tank and they've left the suitcase there when they've got out again as a sign that they're leaving some of these things behind. We had that same symbolism in the service itself when Virginia asked the candidates the question, do you turn away from sin? In other words, do you turn? Do you go, no, I'm not interested in that stuff? Do you turn away? Do you reject evil? Yeah, I'm not interested in that stuff. I'm not interested. I'm not going that way. But the thing with our humanity is that we have to go one way or the other. We can't just stand still. We're traveling one way or the other. Like being on a travelator, it's going to move. We can't just stand still on it. So we can say, well, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be that kind of person. But in order to be able to live, in order to be able to be free, we have to do the next couple of things as well, which are to turn to Christ as Savior, to trust in him as Lord. The word used in the New Testament for that is the word repent. It simply means to turn around. We turn around. And that's what Eliana and Sophia and Gabriella and Christiana are saying, and Kobe too, on behalf with the godparents and parents this morning, are saying that actually we are prepared to go, we're not going to be like this, we don't want to be this, but we want to be this. We're going to associate, if you like, we have died to this way of life. We want to live this new life. Now that is true for them, and it's true for every one of us who have been baptized. My baptism was 47 years ago, and actually I still want to live like that. I still want to be someone who continues daily to go, no to this, I want to go this way. I want to walk into life. I want to become increasingly like Jesus. And that really represents the next sign that we're given, because baptism is a sign of our responsibility. So it's a sign of new birth. It's a sign of being clean. It's a sign of our death and resurrection to new life in Jesus. God has given us a life that is both now and forever. We read about that in our reading from Revelation. But baptism is also a sign of our responsibility to learn and to share. And that's why I read or quoted that verse in Matthew, where it speaks about Jesus said to his disciples, go, make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. We are to live in obedience to Christ. This morning, when the four girls were baptized, we got them soaked, okay, and we made them stand for a little while over there, and much to their relief, we suddenly said, guys, go get out your wet clothes, put on clean clothes. And they look really sparkly now and lovely. And they've put on fresh clothes, new clothes. The Bible speaks about this in terms of baptism and in terms of the life that God invites us into. Speaks about the kind of clothes that we're going to wear. In Colossians, one of the letters in the New Testament, it says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has any grievance against any someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Just imagine somebody getting dressed in the morning and they put on one sock and go, well, that represents, I'm going to be a person of compassion today. The second sock, I'm going to be a person who's kind today. They put on their underwear, I'm going to be a person who's humble, and maybe a t-shirt, I'm going to be a person who's gentle, and maybe their trousers, and person who's patient. And then maybe they throw on a kind of jacket or a coat to go outside, and this is love. This is love. This is what I'm going to wear today. And my challenge to you girls is to say, what are you going to wear each day? Not just your clothes, but what is the attitude you're going to wear each day? What's the behavior you're going to wear each day? And to each of us who have been baptized, what are you going to wear today? And for those of us who are going, well, this is not for me, I wish the guy would stop because we really want to get to the party, which is most of us, then actually, what does this mean for you? What are you going to wear then? What kind of life are you going to lead? Because God offers us a new life today. He offers us the chance to be clean today. He offers us the chance to say no to this stuff and to live a new life and experience his resurrection life. He offers us a chance to live as responsible people, responding to him and learning from him and encouraging and helping others to know the good news of Jesus. Baptism is a public declaration. It's something you do publicly unless you're in a very difficult situation, and we won't get into that just now. But each of us needs to live up to our baptism, grow into the full stature of Christ, as was prayed at the end when they stood out the tank dripping. Let's pray now, shall we? Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you give your faithful people new life in the water of baptism. So guide and strengthen Eliana and Sophia, Gabriella and Christiana and Kobe and their parents and godparents and all of us, Lord, that we who are born again may serve you in faith and love and grow into the full stature of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.